Tung Atsugitsi. Development Committee of the Whole number 6. Thank you all for being here this evening. Thank you to our interpreters, Andrew and Litia, tonight. First item on our agenda this evening is the adoption of the agenda. Councillor Shepherd moves. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty seconds. Comments or questions to the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. There are no minutes this evening, so we'll move into declarations of interest. Does anyone have any interest to declare? Councillor Tilley?
Deputy Mayor Smith, I'll declaring a 4-5A.
Thank you. And Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'll declare for 5E, G, and I.
All right, Plianimic, everyone. So with that, we'll move right along into new business, and I'll give our colleague, Councillor Tilley, a moment to excuse himself. Thank you, Councillor Tilley. New business, 5A, request for decision, disposal of vacant Apex lot for Nunavut Housing Corporation. That will be Matthew Dodds presenting. So go ahead when you're ready, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee. This item is an update. It was presented in May, I think it was in the April committee meeting. It was originally proposed that the lot in Apex, Lot 2, Block 11, Plan 19886, which is a vacant lot, be disposed of directly to Nunavut Housing Corporation to support a modular or prefabricated housing unit. But committee raised questions and flagged a potential concern with the lot, which is that it may have been tied to a traditional fishing use. So we wanted to do better due diligence or more thorough due diligence, since that last meeting, we have reviewed the history of the lot, looked through digital records and archives. We've met with elders at the Kamak. We delivered letters to adjacent property owners and published a public service announcement looking for more information on the lot. After completing all of those steps, we felt comfortable to proceed with the disposal as there were no significant flags raised with respect to the lot and its current ties to traditional fishing uses or any other important uses to be protected. So the proposal remains the same as previously presented to committee, which is that Planning and Development Committee recommend council to give first, second, and third reading to the land disposal bylaw as attached, and to approve the disposal of Lot 2, Block 11, Plan 1986 to Nunavut Housing Corporation for the development of a 3-bedroom modular home. If there are any questions, we're here to answer them, and the planner who worked closely on this file, Riel, is also in the gallery if there are any detailed questions about the engagement process. Thank you.
Matthew, for that, and thank you to all planning staff for doing their due diligence on this based around our concerns. Does anyone have any comments? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
Alternate Deputy Smith, just a question that you had to mention, Matthew, that potential developers are here. Am I correct? No. Oh, sorry. My apology. I'm just wondering, I know we discussed this before and we was deferred. I was just wondering, since we've been approving a lot of these affordable units, lots in past, past past little while. I wonder if do we have any specific authority or say in specifically what this lot could be utilized for? And I know that it's construct a three-bedroom modular home. I'm wondering, as a homeowners here in Iqaluit, there's limited properties, lots available for homeowners, especially young families. And with the location of this particular lot, I wonder if it would make sense to consider put a condition that this lot could be designated towards home ownership, even though the three-bedroom modular house may be considered as home ownership. So I don't recall having information on this particular three-bedroom modular house, which is now present here, but it was present before. Am I correct? Matthew? Thank you.
I'm going to meet Councillor for your question. I know that this one was not previously offered to the public just because it's just such a small, small parcel size, but Matthew, you can probably elaborate on that a bit for us. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the question. That is accurate. The answer that the Chair gave is accurate in that the lot was originally deemed too small and was not offered by ballot draw or other means when the lot was first created. But because Nunavut Housing Corporation is able to develop a smaller prefabricated unit, we were able to see if it fit first before entering into this. And there is a site fit drawing in the attachment 3, if you're interested in seeing what that looks like. I will confirm that it is intended to be used for public housing, so not for ownership. And generally, we are working towards making more lots available for home ownership, but with these smaller one-off sites and the NHC's current program to introduce or pilot new modular buildings, it seemed like a good fit for this particular lot. Thank you.
Can I make Matthew follow up at all? Any other further comment, or would anyone like to make a motion? Alternate Deputy Mayor moves, and Councillor Shepherd seconds. All in favor? Councillor Nutduck, are you in favor? Yeah. Okay, anyway. All right, thank you. Bring Sam or Councillor Tilley back in here.
All right. Let's do nothing.
Testing. We're good. I'll start over. The item B is concerning a survey sketch proposal, which would create a new utility easement. The easement would be along the southeast lot line of Dunkashuk School. There's currently an existing drainage ditch in the area proposed. However, with two nearby housing developments, one being Nunavut Housing Corporation and the other being the federal government, there is a need to install a new sewer main that runs in that same utility easement adjacent to the ditch. It's good practice to incorporate infrastructure into easements so that the city maintains title or and security over those lands and the ability to enter those lands and maintain the infrastructure. The city reserves that right under the Land Titles Act. We did circulate the proposed easement plan to the Department of Education and the Planning and Lands Department of the Government of Nunavut, and they are okay with the proposed easement, and which makes sense because there's already existing infrastructure in the easement. So the sketch plan is shown in Attachment 1 in red. And the recommendation from staff is to approve Survey Sketch SK25, or the Planning and Development Committee recommend Council to approve Survey Sketch SK25003. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Cleanna McMatthew, any questions on this item? No? Anyone like to make a motion? Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. So again, comments, questions? All right, all in favor? Councillor Nutta? Yeah, unanimous, thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 5C, request for decision development permit DP25-013 for Jomi Court. And once again, Matthew, that's you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So this item was prepared by Samantha Toffolo, and she was not able to join in today to present, so I'm presenting on her behalf. The proposed development is located on Lot 29 in Jomi Court. It was one of the lots that was granted an extension to their construction term back in June of 2025. And that extension lasts them until the end of this year to construct. The applicant is proposing a three-story semi-detached dwelling with two-bedroom units adjacent and three parking stalls. There are no secondary suites planned in the development, so it would result in a total of two units. Two variances are being requested, hence the item coming to committee for decision. The first is to reduce what we call minimum lot frontage. The requirement right now is that lots looking to construct two units have 18 meters of lot frontage, which is an 18 meter front lot line. However, the current lot, the way it was designed because of the curvature of the road and the way Jomi Court was designed, only has a lot frontage of 16.5 meters. So the first variance is to allow a semi-detached building on a more narrow lot. The second variance is to reduce the minimum interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 2.3. This variance constitutes what we consider minor because it is less than 30%, and it is related to the lot's narrow configuration, which was created as a result of being at the curved part of the Jomi Court. So there is precedent in Jomi Court for these curved lots to gain setback variances and frontage variances. And we believe it is supportable from a planning perspective. So the recommendation from the notice of variance was circulated to residents and occupants within a 30 meter radius as required under the general plan. And we did not receive any negative feedback from the people that circulated the notice. So the recommendation from staff is that the Planning and Development Committee recommend Council to approve Development Permit Application 25013 as per the plans in Attachment 3 and with the special conditions in Attachment 2 to permit a semi-detached structure on Plan 4716, Block 242, Lot 29, and to approve the variances as per the request for decision. Thank you.
Uh, Cleonomic Matthew, and also thank you to the proponents who are here this evening as well. Would anyone like to make a comment or have a question on this item? Seeing none, would anyone like to make a motion? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty moves. Councillor Shepherd seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. All right. Our next item on the agenda, 5D, requests for decision, exemption of development cost charges, Butler Building redevelopment for Okotok Society. So Matthew, once again, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. This item is concerning a development permit application that was already approved by council last summer. But at that time, the calculation for the development charges and the request for reduction in development charges was not brought forward. So it's being brought forward today. Water and Sewer Development Charge Bylaw 940 grants the city authority to collect charges to support off-site infrastructure works, namely sewer at this time. We apply this charge to all development on pipe services, with very few exceptions. Like, for example, if there's a significant demolition, they may not be subject to a development charge. But in this case, the society, Okotok Society, who are developing the Butler lot, they are subject to a $112,303 development charge because they are on pipe services. The society, the bylaw states that applicants may request that council offer up to a full refund of the development cost charge if they are a registered nonprofit providing a community benefit. And in this case, Okotok Society is a registered nonprofit and they are providing a community benefit by developing non-market housing and providing their services to the community. They have requested a full exemption of the development cost charges, presenting the three options. Option one is to approve an exemption for Okotok Society for the full $112,303. Option two is to approve a portion of the exemption, accounting for the city's long-term needs to construct new infrastructure. And option three is to refuse the application for an exemption. The benefits of granting any exemption is that it will support the development of 27 new homes and the office space that supports Okotok Society's operations here in our community. However, the larger the exemption, the less funds available to support future sewer projects in the city. So the Planning and Development Committee recommend that council approve a partial exemption of 50%, equivalent to $56,151.50 for the society for DP 24022. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Cleonomic Matthew, I guess I've got a question actually on this one. I think Okotok is great, and I think the work that they do is really important here in town. But we've also, in the last kind of year, we've seen Okotok shift some of the facilities that they do. Or of course, like, you know, we have the the shelter building that's going up. But there's also, you know, this new development for, you know, by Arctic Ventures. That is, a lot of it's going to be there's market rentals that are going to be, there's some of them are below market rentals, some of them are going to be, I guess, above market rentals. So I wonder what, in a way, they're kind of moving into being a bit of a development corporation, though they are a not-for-profit. So I just wonder what kind of precedent this might set in some of that. It's just thank you.
Yes. No, I appreciate the question, Chair. And there's no clear answer to that. We have We are monitoring their uses. One benefit of a nonprofit corporation holding housing tenure and leasing units is that they're not interested in profit generation as part of their business model. So the hope is that those rents stay low, and it's a favorable model across Canada to have nonprofit housing providers. So we're hoping that tenure is enough to keep affordable housing affordable in Iqaluit. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. That's pretty much exactly what I thought and wanted to hear, so just glad to have you comment on it. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think it's important for the city to support non-market housing in virtually any way we can, especially when it comes to affordable rentals and below market rentals, and some of the kind of the unique nature of the property proposed for the old Butler site. I would support the 50% reduction at this point in time, and I just wanted to ask Matthew, I'm just wondering what the timing of this expected development is, realizing that the federal government's made commitments to reduce development charges, but to keep municipalities whole in that process. And I know nothing formal has come out yet, but there's work underway, I believe, from the federal government to develop a program, whether it's a subsidy or how they're going to work that, with some sort of transfer to municipalities to make up for decreased development charges like this. Just wondering if you've heard of any development on that, and do we see a way of a program like that potentially benefiting projects like this, whether now or into next year?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Bill, go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, and thank you, Councillor Shepherd. To date, we haven't been communicated any programs, still waiting on a federal budget, so we'll see what programs come out when they do, so we can't speculate. I think the big thing is grounding the staff recommendation and knowing that these are definitely worthwhile ventures and support housing, but we still do have real costs that are incurred by the city to maintain water and sewer infrastructure. Both adjacent to site, but up and downstream that need to support it as we grow as a city, especially in infill areas. So as you know, with a lot of the projects and RFDs that come to you, there's some real costs, and trying to make sure that we can still be supportive, but also can cover the costs that we incur from an infrastructure standpoint. So thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Follow-up, Councillor Shepherd.
Deputy Mayor, and potentially for Matthew, I'm not sure who's best to feel this. It kind of comes back to the part of my inquiry relating to, when do we expect this development to move forward? Is this something that's going to happen in 2026 where we might be able to defer this decision to see what comes in the federal budget and what might be supportable in the intent that we could potentially collect the full development charge but not put the burden onto Okotuk when the time comes? So just a little bit of review on the timing. Would we be delaying their project if we defer this for another couple months?
Can you make Councillor Shepherd? Matthew, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Shepherd, for the question. We understand that they are aiming for completion in 2027. Not too sure how long it would take to implement the collaborative program with the federal government. If the timeline does align, we could return to committee. We could return to committee. I don't know if a refund, it would be eligible for a refund if we collected the charges now and then waited. But it is a condition of their permit to pay these charges subject to the exemption. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty.
Clear to me, Deputy Mayor Smith. My question is lying with who would be incurred half of the cost, which is $56,151.50. Would that be the ratepayers covering the cost? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, is there lump sum funds are put aside to cover this type of incentive, or the cost incurred by the city? Thank you.
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. Back to you, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor, for the question. So the before this bylaw was introduced, which was in 2019, there was no development cost charge for water and sewer. It was a new charge to create a new funding source for capital projects. So to answer your question, I can't directly answer which funding source will offset the $56,000 that the exemption applies, but it could be external grants, it could be the general fund. I would need insight from finance to best answer your question, but it does offset the cost of capital projects, so any of the other funding sources for capital would cover the $56,000 in this case.
Thank you, Matthew. Would it be just kind of fair to say it's not that we're going to pay it, it's just we're not collecting it, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Before our colleague leaves the room, because he's in conflict on the items and then coming back and then going out, would it be prudent to perhaps do E, G, and I while he's out of the room and then do F and H after? Would that mess up this whole thing? Is that fine? Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. We'll leave you out of the room for a while. Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. All right. Okay, well, brings us to 5E, request for decision, exemption of development cost charges for makerspace development in the Lake subdivision. So once again, go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And this is the same proposal from a different nonprofit for a different development site and a lesser charge. So the Ampere, or the Pingwak Association, is developing a new facility in the Lake subdivision. It's very close to permit issuance, and the development charges owing for this development are $57,804. They've also applied for a full exemption of that charge, but for the same reasons cited in the prior item, staff are recommending a partial development charge exemption of 50%, equivalent to $28,902.15 for Pingwak Association, so they can develop their facility with less costs. If there's any questions for myself or for Pingwak, we have Kevin in the gallery to answer any questions about the facility or the nonprofit. Thank you.
Cleanamik Matthew. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, we just did one, so anyone want to make a motion? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. Once again, comments, questions. All in favor. Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on. Thank you. We'll move on to item 5G. We'll come back to F after. So that's request for decision for quarry permit, QP 25-002. So go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And I'll just... Right, maybe I might have to recap once Councillor Shepherd re-enters the room on quarry permits in general. But there was a memo that was presented to committee at a prior meeting concerning land use permits, quarries, and how the city was very close in administering quarry permits. We were just pending the registration of a survey. So that survey is at the point of registration. And we've prepared quarry permits for the four contractors that are currently using the quarry. So the proposal is to administer the quarry permit as shown in attachment, with the conditions shown in attachment one, which would grant continued use of the quarry. However, there would be a material extraction rate of $7.50 per cubic meter. This money will go into a separate fund that is to be used for some of that charge is for royalties, but some of it is to go into the maintenance of the quarry, the ditching, and the maintenance of the roads that feed into the quarry. So it's an important thing to start collecting, and creates a new revenue stream for the city. We've reviewed these quarry permits with the operators of the contractors in the quarry. There have been a few questions, but no immediate concerns. Staff therefore recommend that there's a typo in the quarry permit request for decision, but staff recommend that the Planning and Development Committee recommend Council to approve quarry permit 25002 to permit occupancy of a portion of Lot 1, Block 250, Plan 4960, as listed and depicted in Attachments 2 and 3, subject to the conditions in Attachment 1, and that staff set the extraction fee to $7.50 per cubic meter. This is for Baffin Building Services, who are occupying the quarry permit areas that are shown in green on the map in Attachment 3. If there are any questions, we're happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Aldrich, Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you, Matthew. Just a question on the extraction fee. Is that new? I mean, I don't recall having a discussion about this, so I'm just curious if this new fee, as you mentioned, it will be to cover the roads and so forth, the maintenance of it. But the question I have is this new fee that is coming out, or? Thank you.
Thank you, alternate deputy mayor. I think it's brand new. This is something we've talked about in here in the past. I think it's the first time we're kind of seeing it, but Matthew might be able to elaborate a bit more.
Yes, that the chair's question to your answer was correct, that this is a new fee that's being introduced for extraction. The last time that we collected quarry permit fees was back in 2017, and the city has not collected this as a revenue source since then. So we're reintroducing that since we have surveyed the quarry and we now have the authority to collect permit fees for quarries. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Follow-up, alternate deputy mayor, go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. This might be the appropriate time for the question is that based on all the quarry permits applications, and you had the volume of cubic meters identified for the overall, what is your estimate revenue for 2025 and 2026? Period September 1, 2025 to June 30th, 2026. Do we have a general estimate what the expected revenue will be? Thank you.
Can I make alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty? Yeah, how much rock are we pulling out of this thing? Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, this year we're not expecting a considerable increase in revenue just because most of the rock that has already been extracted and they're currently processing and stockpiling that for the ongoing projects. And extraction usually ends in November, late October. So it would be a very small window of extraction, if any, but we believe that most of the contractors have already sort of extracted the rock they need for their current projects. But it is important to implement so that we can learn from the process. There may be a bit of extraction at the beginning of 2026 until the permit expires in June. We'll have learned from that first year and be ready again for the next year. So, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Kunuk, go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I just want a clarification on applicant. I think it's Pap and Building Systems. Okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify on that.
Yeah, my apologies there, Councillor Kunuk. I got us to switch the agenda up here at the last moment, so that might be why. Any further questions or comments? Would anyone like to make a motion? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to item 5I. Request for decision, quarry permit QP25-004, and that's for Nunavut Excavating. So once again, Matthew, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's the same proposal, and I'll just point to the same map in Attachment 3. So Nunavut Excavating is shown in the teal color on the right side of the quarry, E1 and E3. And it's a total area of 19,500 square meters. Anything extracted from that area will be billed at $7.50 per cubic meter. So the planning and development, this staff recommendation, again, there's a typo in the report, but it's to approve the quarry permit application QP25004 to permit occupancy as per the request for decision and to set the extraction fee to $7.50 per cubic meter. And to confirm, this is for Nunavut Excavating 2007 Limited. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
President of me, Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you, Matthew. More of a general question. And what happens when applicants or proponent has a arrear to the city? Are they excluded, or is there any condition to companies that have an arrear to the city? If I remember correctly, there was some lots in West 40 that they are currently occupying that, and they were supposed to remove themselves in that property, but they still haven't. So I'm just adding two together. I'm just trying to get the sense is that when you review the applicants, are there any certain conditions that are taken into consideration, for example, having arrears? Thank you.
Okay, alternate deputy mayor. I actually asked Rod about that pile of stuff sitting there just before this meeting started, so I don't know if, Matthew, you're able to give us a bit more insight on that by any chance, or... Thank you. Or Bill.
Heard of it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith, and thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. So in regards to the lot specifico, obviously I wasn't prepared to speak for it tonight, but we have had verbal discussions reiterating the need for that to start moving, and notices have already been sent from the planning department in regards to that lot from that temporary land use. As far as arrears, that particular issue isn't necessarily considered arrears or owing to the city. That would be, for example, taxes or municipal services arrears. And there is, within the lands department, certain things that we can't process if those aren't clear. And part of Matthew's team's check usually is with finance to see if everyone's current before we can process. So even with approvals of permits or anything that comes to you, they actually don't get issued by administration until any arrears or outstanding is owing, if our administration policies or bylaws state that we can't. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Bill. Follow up at all, or? Good, okay. All right, any further questions or comments? See none? Anyone like to make a motion? Councillor Kunnick moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. All right, now we can go back to item 5F and we'll get Councillor Shepherd back in the room. Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Okay, so maybe you wanted your steps today, I don't know, but I thought it was a bit easier that way. So item 5F, request for decision, quarry permit QP25-001. There's a bit of explanation there that Matthew gave us, because we are charging for extracted material now, so I'll get Matthew to just give you a lowdown on that while we do this. Okay. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Councillor Shepherd. We were just talking about the city's ongoing movement towards issuing quarry permits after taking a break since 2017. And the last remaining item of business was to register the survey of the quarry so that the city had the authority to issue quarry permits. The survey is at the point of registration, and we are just getting quarry permits approved by committee and council to ensure we're ready to start administering and managing the quarry. A quarry permit is required to extract once the city is operating and maintaining the quarry. The $7.50 per cubic meter includes a royalty fee and maintenance and fees to cover the maintenance of the quarry and collection ditching. This was all discussed in the May PDCAL meeting this year, and the proposal is consistent with all prior discussions about quarry permitting. The item 5F is for Kudlik Construction, who would occupy the areas shown in red on the map in Attachment 3. So any material extracted from that area in red would be billed at $7.50 per cubic meter extracted. So the staff recommendation is to approve the quarry permit application QP25001 as per the request for decision items and conditions in attachment one, and to set the extraction fee to $7.50 per cubic meter of extracted material. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. Any questions at all? Anyone want to move? Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. And last one, item 5H, request for decision, quarry permit QP25-003 for Tower Arctic. So same spiel, but go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair. and Tower Arctic is occupying the areas, is going to be extracting in the areas shown in blue in the quarry permit map on attachment 3. It's a larger area, so any materials extracted would be billed to Tower Arctic. And the recommendation from staff is to approve quarry permit application QP25003 as per the request for decision, and to set the extraction fee to $7.50 per cubic meter. Thank you.
Any comments or questions on the last one of these for the evening? Seeing none, Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. All right. Last item is adjournment. Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Tilley seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Thank you once again to our interpreters this evening, and we'll see you all next time.